bless you this morning, friends. Good to see everybody out. Let's just go straight to prayer. Lord Jesus, we're just grateful we can gather here again this morning, Lord, and Father, with you amongst us, it just makes it all worthwhile. So, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would just help us, Lord, to surrender our thoughts and our ideas and our ambitions and our pride and our religion and our holiness and everything, Lord Jesus, just surrender it to you, our desires, Lord, and let you take full preeminence in our lives, Lord. This is your will. We know this, Father, but the word says it's what you would have from us. The word says this is the inheritance for the bride. And Lord Jesus, I ask that, Lord, bring this to pass in our lives. Lord, it's not something asking for something crazy. It's not asking something way out there. It's asking for just exactly what we are here for, Lord, what you called us for, Lord. So I pray today you take us a step further, Lord, closer to you. You know the needs of each one here, Lord. You know what's going on in our minds and our hearts and our bodies, the healings, the deliverances, the refreshings, the trials that we need, Lord. So I ask that you meet those needs as you promised to do. We ask this, Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise in your name. Amen. Amen. I want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. And everyone who has a mother, happy Mother's Day to you too. I don't have a Mother's Day message this morning. God didn't give me one. I'm not going to manufacture one just to preach a Mother's Day, but God bless you. God bless you. I think Brother Branham said motherhood is the backbone of the nation. But we see what's happened to our nation. So, God bless you. Let's turn in our Bibles to, let's go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I want to read a couple of places. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And if you turn just right across the page to chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11, we're going to start at the first verse. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. You may be seated. Thursday, we spoke on the thought of the great, precious promises that God has for us, and that it is our inheritance. It's not something that we have to wonder if it's for us. It's not something that, well, I need to get a revelation to know that this is for me. What we need the revelation of, brother and sister, is that we are born again. If you are born again, you are bride. If you are bride, then all that is for the bride is for you. You do not have to wonder whether or not you're going to have to, if you're going to totally surrender to Christ or not. You don't have to wonder whether or not he's going to have preeminence in your life. You don't have to wonder about, am I going to be deceived and fall away at the very end like Judas? You don't have to wonder about any of these things, because once you are sealed away, it is a finished work. It's done. All that you need is sealed into your soul, and it will manifest itself, because it is a really, really good seed. It's not a hybrid seed. It's not something that you can say, well, you know, I had it today and I lost it tomorrow. It ain't going to happen. You are sealed into the body of Christ, and all the promises that are for the bride in this day are yours and you will manifest it. It's just that simple. Brother and sister, that's why Jesus said, I build my church on revelation. It's not on how you feel today. It's not on what you did today or yesterday or last week or what you might do tomorrow. It's built on the revelation of who he is. And when you recognize who he is, then you recognize who you are. My. You will say, I just want to see more of Christ. Well, then start looking in the mirror. That's where you're going to see him today, brother and sister. Now, I hope you see him, your brother and sisters. I do. And that gives me great encouragement. But I can see him in my brother and sister all day long, but that doesn't put me in the rapture. I need to see him in myself. I need to know him personally. And the way I know Christ personally is because I see him working through me. That's just the simplicity of it, brother and sister. Don't be deceived by some other idea about way, but I need to understand this doctrine, or I need to live to this level of holiness, or I need to go to this church, or whatever. That's deception. You need to see Jesus Christ manifest through you, and the only way you know that is when you know the word for your day and you see it happening. Boy, that's simple. Isn't that simple? And that's why it takes ears to hear and eyes to see. A special group, Brother Branham called them a special group, who could receive that revelation. Everyone can't receive it. They don't want it. Now, let me read this quote. His body was not held in the grave. It was recognized with him in the resurrection, same as he is now. Listen, which means this. His word, which he is, has begun to be risen. Now, let me ask you this. How is his word, which he is, begin to be risen? It means it's beginning to manifest itself for this day. This was back in 1963. This is what? 50 or 60 years after that, brother and sister, 60, 53 years, whatever it is. That's a long time ago. He said back then it was beginning to be risen, brother and sister. Let me tell you what. That was the first fruits, but now we're seeing it risen in the bride. The word that down through the age of Luther, Wesley, has begun to raise up to its power. There it began to move. Then it moved a little more. Now it's coming up to identification. See, like when the gifts fell at Pentecost back in 1906, that was part of the word being manifest, but now it's coming to identification, where justification gave way for sanctification, gave way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, gave way to the Holy Ghost itself. That's the identification, him identifying, this is me now, living in flesh, just like I did before, the Alpha and the Omega. It's becoming to an identification. Who's going to identify it? Brother, sister, it's us. Now, to the life in the body is a vindication of the rapture is at hand. Now, you say, brother, sister, brother Phil, you say, we've been hearing all my life, the rapture is at hand, the rapture is at hand, and I believed it, and I still believe it. But brother and sister, the life in the body is a vindication. It's a proof that the rapture is at hand. So the more you see of Christ, the more you better realize that that rapture is really, really close. You can look at the world and see it proven. This world has totally gone insane. But you can look at the bride and it proves it too, because the bride is getting so Christ-like that sometimes I seriously can't tell the difference. See, there was Christ. You know what? You know how it happens? Just listen to someone talk sometime and you hear the voice of Jesus Christ speaking through that person. And they're sometime clueless. My. When you see the headship and the body becoming one, the headship, the word, and the body becoming one, you are becoming so one with the word. The fullness of the measure of his manifestation.
See, brothers and sisters, we saw that through Brother Branham, and we saw wonderful, and people look back and they see that's the last time they saw Christ. But that same thing has to be in the bride, that same relationship, that same fullness of the manifestation. Don't go out here and try to be a prophet. We're not prophets. Go out and be who you are, what part of the body of Christ you're supposed to be, and that's going to be the fullness of the measure of his manifestation. Shows that the body is about ready to be received to the headship. That headship coming down on the body, like we talk about the pyramid, coming together, mold together. You cannot tell where the body stops and the headship starts because they're so close, there's no space between them. It's a perfect fit. That's what we have. You say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, don't worry about it. You will be. Like I said, you make sure you're born again. And this is for you. I sure don't feel like it. Well, who cares how you feel? I'm sorry that I don't. We all have good feelings. We all have bad feelings. We all feel all different kinds of ways. But that has nothing to do with you going in the rapture. So quit being jerked around by your feelings. Well, don't you get... Yes, we all have the feelings. We all deal with the feelings. I'm not saying you don't have feelings, brother and sister. That's part of it. But don't base your eternal life on how you feel. Of course we feel things. That's part of the human thing. That's just the humanity. We're supposed to have feelings. We're supposed to feel for each other. But your feelings will lie to you. Now, here's what I want to talk about today. The battle we face when we see these promises, we see that we are coming to the headship, we see all these things happening, and we look at ourselves sometimes and we think, man, I am falling so short. You ever feel that way? Today I just had a horrible day, and I just don't even feel saved. I just can't even see how Satan is just hitting me, just kicking me around. I just don't see it happening. I need to go back and get born again. You ever feel that way? Ridiculous, isn't it? Because you're not taking the word when you say that. Here's what I want to look at. The battles we face, we just read, the weapons of our, we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Those strongholds is what's in your mind where Satan can kick you around. You'll have a shot coming, Satan can come in there, and he'll find your weakness and he'll kick you around. But he said, don't use carnal weapons to fight that. Don't use your own mind to fight that. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Cast down reasoning. Cast down your affections. Cast down your imagination. Cast down your memory. Cast down all these things, those five gates into your soul, into your spirit. You cast those down because they will be used against you if you don't. You yield those to God and they will be used for you. You let Satan have that and he's going to wage war against you and make you a miserable human being. You got to cast all that down. Anything that exalts itself against the revelation of God. This is what Satan does. He uses reasoning to get you to disbelieve. And he's very reasonable, isn't he? He's very reasonable. And faith and reason do not coexist because faith is not reasonable. It is not reasonable to think that God would take a little group of people in a little church like this in a little town like Dixon and take bride out of here and leave some of the great denominations and the people around the world and just let them sit here while we're leaving. That's not reasonable. They're just as good as we are, and sometimes they're better. It's not reasonable that God would look at all the message churches and say, well, I'm just going to take that person and that person and that person. The rest of you are just going to sit here. And they're just as sincere. That ain't reasonable. And when you see your weaknesses and the mistakes you make, and then you're going to stand there and say, I am without spot or wrinkle. I am the bride of Christ. I am accepting the headship. I am becoming one with the word. And Satan pulls up what you did yesterday and dangles it in front of you and says, are you forgetting something here? It is not reasonable for you to sit there and claim that you believe the things that I'm preaching. And your flesh rises up against it and say, yeah, you're right. I've struggled, Brother Phil. It's not reasonable. And your imagination goes crazy. And you know what it tells you? You're just a Judas. You've been in and out of the message. You're here. You're going to be one of those that stays to the very end. Then you're going to fall away. Esau, you seek a place of repentance, but you can't repent because you really don't want it. You ever been there? Some of you there right now? It's not reasonable to think that you could be one. Why should you be special? What's so great about you? Or what he does, once you get past that, he takes you and goes further past it and says, you're really special. You are really spiritual. I tell you what, God really can't get along without you. I think you better tell the pastor how to run the church, because you are just that spiritual person. And you know what Brother Phil was preaching? I think you need to tell him, you know, what else he should have preached, because I'm not sure he preached it the way that he could have preached it. I think you should tell him what he needs to preach next time. Yeah, they'll do that. He'll push you right past it until you go all the way on the other side. You're either not good enough or you're too good. Let me give you a little testimony to stop your second. Yesterday, I had to go. I was going to buy some tithe envelopes. Brother Jim asked me to buy some envelopes, and I couldn't find an open Christian bookstore in Nashville that sold them. So I finally found one, but I got there and it was they were having a street festival going on. The street was just jammed with people. I had to park a long ways off and walk down the street. And it was bright sunny day, beautiful weather. And that place was just jammed with people. And right in the middle of it with this Christian bookstore, I had to walk through all these people to get there. And you can just imagine how the women were dressed. It was exactly what you can imagine. And let me tell you something. Let me brag on God a little bit. I walked through there. I went into that bookstore, and I walked back out. Walked through all those people. And when I got done, you know what? I did not feel dirty. I did not feel grieved. I did not feel I had to repent. Now, not too long ago, for me to go through that and come back out, I would have been just tore up. Now, listen to what I'm saying. I'd been tore up because I'd have been struggling so hard. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. Stop this. Oh, my goodness, doesn't she look good? But see what happened, brothers and sisters. I realized that my old flesh is going to think that that is attractive. And that's not, no matter how I try, if I'm trying, oh, I've got to quit liking that. Quit thinking that's attractive, Brother Phil. You better stop that. You are fighting a miserable losing battle that you cannot win. But here's what happened. I recognized yesterday that I was walking through the midst of Satan's Eden, and I was not defiling myself with what he was offering, because something in me was greater than that which was in Satan's Eden. I walked out of there free. You know how I knew? Because when I got in my car, I didn't have to sit there and repent. The Holy Spirit that was with me when I went in there had not been grieved away, and it was just as much with me afterwards. Was it because, oh, I'm so spiritual, or I'm so strong, or I've overcome that? No, there was just something inside of me. When some woman walked by, I said, you know what? That ain't what I want. I can't do that. I spent years trying to do that, and I can't do it, but something in me is greater. That's what I'm talking about. That's the headship coming to the body, because we are so one. You know what also helped? Like Brother Jim said, I was here in Dixon, and I spent some time in the morning with brothers, and I was in the right atmosphere when I went to begin with. Because if I'd have went in the wrong atmosphere, all messed up or something, it would have been a lot more difficult. But you stay in the right atmosphere, you walk in the Spirit, and you will resist the things of the flesh. I'll tell you what, When you see things like that happening in your life, brother and sister, you see God doing things in your life that you know is beyond your ability, that gets exciting. I think it does. Well, how do you know you weren't lusting, Brother Phil? You said they're attractive. I'll tell you why. Because like I said, the Holy Spirit was not grieved. You know, you can use that for just about any battle you go through. You get through a battle, you get through a testing, a trial, and sit there and examine. Is the Holy Spirit grieved? Is he upset with me? Did he have to leave? Did I grieve him away? Or is he still here just the same? You know, sometimes you can get angry and it's okay. Most of the time it's not. Because most of the time when we get angry, we don't do or say something that we're going to regret. You got to repent. But brother and sister, you can't. Let me give you this example. I think I told it before. I was preaching at a church. It wasn't this one. And I was preaching really hard. And even during the sermon, I was feeling so bad about what I was preaching. And I got in the car. I was leaving. And I was just repenting. I'm so sorry, God. I don't want to preach that way. I'm sorry. But, and you know what God was doing? Ignoring me. And after a while, I was thinking, don't you care? I want him to come down and pat me on the shoulder and say, I'll take care of you. You know what he did? He rebuked me. He said, I gave you that to preach. Was that your idea? Did you preach your own idea? Was it your word? Was it your anointing? No, that was me preaching it. What are you feeling bad about? You want everyone to like you or something? I can't use a preacher who's going to be moved by his emotions. I want to preach what people like. So I find out that, you know what, when I leave here and I drive home, most of the time I'm going down 40, you know what I'm thinking about? Anything except what I preached. Because what happens is Satan will come there and he'll just ride my head and say, I can't believe you said that. Do you believe you said that? You know what that person thinks now? And he just go drive you crazy. So I just think about something else. Because as long as the Holy Spirit wasn't grieved with what I preached, I really don't care. Oh, my old flesh does. But that ain't me. That ain't me. People say, you know, they say things after you preach. Oh, I really appreciate that. You know, that was good. I really like that, especially my old flesh. And then sometimes someone will come up and say something. Well, I don't know about that. I'm thinking, what? You thought that was my idea? You think I just put that together and threw something together to try to do what? That wasn't me. If I ever come in the pulpit with that, I need to sit down and shut up. I have nothing to say. But when the Holy Spirit gives me something to say, I better say what it gives me to say. I don't care if you like it or not. Now, I'm saying that from up here under the anointing. If I'm in the outside talking to you, I'm going to care a lot more. Because I'm a human being. I like people to like me. But there's something in me that's greater than that, too. Oh, my. When you see Christ working through you, changing you. And when I look around and I see it through, I wish we could just sit here. I could just name each one of you and say, you know, I've seen God do this through you. I've seen God do this through you. I've seen God. It's so encouraging. If you see that in someone, why don't you mention it to them? You might be saying the exact thing they need to just get them out of that doldrums. Because a lot of times we don't even recognize the things we're doing and saying as being led by the Holy Spirit because we're so tore up about something or whatever. I didn't say anything special. Well, it was special to me. So Satan uses reasoning. Let me read something here. Listen. He said, remember in the last days, we'll exactly go back and vindicate the first days. Adam and Eve, husband and wife, no sin, life, then the fall. Remember what he said. What's the third fold of the threefold purpose? First is to get preeminence in Christ, and through Christ, preeminence in the bride, to take the third one, to take the bride back to Eden, to everything Adam lost. That's what we're talking about now. This is the third fold. Go back and vindicate the first days. Now, what caused it? Lucifer. Lucifer is doing now as he did in the first time. In the last days, Lucifer is doing it as he did at first. What did he do? The first thing Lucifer done is separate the fellowship of God and man. Separate the fellowship in God and man. And how did he do it? By reasoning. I want you to turn to Genesis 3rd chapter. We're going to look exactly what we're talking about here. Let's just read what he did. First of all, we want to recognize it was not Lucifer himself standing there preaching to Eve. He had a preacher. He had a preacher. There is two pastors in the Garden of Eden. One was Adam and one was the serpent. You get to choose which one you want to listen to. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of any of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. That's the only lie he told. He put the word not in there. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That was true. That's exactly the truth. And what happened is serpent speaking to Eve by under the anointing of Lucifer was he was giving her knowledge that she didn't know before. And it was true, and it appealed to her sense, her desire for knowledge, and she lusted for knowledge, and he knew that was her weak point, and so he kept offering that. Don't you want to know more? Let me preach to you something you ain't seen yet. Let me show you something you haven't seen yet. You're going to feel so spiritual. You're going to feel so smart, and Adam don't even know this. Your own pastor doesn't even know this. Look how smart you're going to be. Oh, that spirit is still thriving around this message. Thriving. People sit in a message church because a preacher preach things that makes them feel smart, makes them feel spiritual, makes them feel intelligent because they know something more than those stupid old dumb people living in the denominations. If that is your attitude towards people who are not message believers, please be born again. That is not the attitude of Christ. You belittle people because they don't see what you see as if you are spiritual. Ooh, look what I see. Really. Separating between the fellowship of God and man. He wanted to build him a united kingdom, a greater splendor and seemingly more cultured, a greater kingdom than Michael, Christ had. So what he wanted to do, he got all those angels he could, and he made himself a greater kingdom. It was more splendor. It was more beautiful. They were wiser. They were smarter than Michael's little kingdom, who just dwelt in simplicity. You see that happening around the message, don't you? They want to get all the people together. It's united. You see it out in the world. It's going to be united world, one world religion. It's all about uniting. There's uniting time when Satan is uniting all the forces of darkness and Christ is uniting all the forces of light. And if you look at the numbers, it's like 1 billion to 1. Not quite, but it's close. And reasoning says, how can you be so arrogant that you sit here and think, oh, you're right and everyone else is wrong? And what did Jesus say? Except you believe I am he, you will die in your sin. Well, that's arrogant. How dare he talk like that? It was love. Because he recognized who he was by revelation. And you recognize who you are by revelation. It doesn't puff you up. You just want to see people saved. You say, you got to come and hear this. If it puffs you up, it's sensual and devilish. That's what James says. Lucifer, at the beginning, his purpose and heart was to achieve a brighter and greater thing in heaven than Christ had. Is that right? By seemingly a more cultured, more beautiful, more splendor than the kingdom of Christ. Do you think we'll have automobiles in the millennium and airplanes? See what Lucifer is doing? Brother and sister, look around and see what God is doing. See how simplicity, let me read this again, what Paul said. I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity. Get born again, brother and sister, and then everything that you need is already birthed in you, and it will manifest. You don't have to sit there and think, well, I need to go to this church. I need to know this doctrine. I need to believe the seven seals open. I need to believe the seven seals not open. I need to follow this doctrine. I need to believe this holy. I need to do all these things. That is not simplicity. God called you. God justified you. He sanctified you. He gave you the new birth. How did he do it? Through the preaching of the word. Just stay that simple.
Well, Brother Phil, if you knew what I was going through. All right. Well, I tell you what. You keep that excuse, all right? Because one day you're going to stand on judgment day and use that with God. Why didn't you believe? Well, God, if you knew what I was going through, he's going to bring up someone who went through 10 times worse than you. Say, they went through worse than that. Now, what's your excuse? Well, God, it was hard. Yep, that's why he's calling soldiers. That's why he's calling soldiers. And soldiers who fight get wounded. Have you been wounded? You've been just about killed, some of you. I'm serious. If it wasn't for the grace of God, half of you would not be here because your human mind cannot deal with what you're going through. Your human mind is not strong enough. It takes the mind of God. It takes his strength. It does. But when I'm weak, then he can be strong. My. Do not be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. How does he do it? Reasoning with you. Well, I've been in the message for 20 years. Surely I have the Holy Ghost by now. Surely I'm born again. I've been sitting in this church for 30 years. Surely I'm born again. Reasoning. You're going to try and get, you're going to base your eternal life on surely? I mean, it's just reasonable to think that if I listen to the message this long, surely I'm born again by now, ain't I? Ain't I? Probably not. If that's your evidence because you got tenure, because you've been in, you know, longevity, no, that isn't how it comes, brother and sister. Well, how does it come? That's between you and God. Oh, it's just so simple. Oh, I want Brother Jerry to tell me if I'm born again. I want this to happen. I want to experience this. Listen, you and God get alone sometime and find out what's going on. Brother Branham said, call a conference. Call a conference. God, I need to get this settled once and for all. And you keep that attitude, and 6 years later, you might be born again. Or it might happen in 6 minutes, or it might happen in 30 seconds. I don't know, brother. So that's between you and God. The point is, you keep that attitude and you keep that approach, and sooner or later it's going to be for you, because Brother Branham said, if God ever gave someone the Holy Ghost under certain conditions, if you meet those same conditions, you're going to get it too. Just don't come offering him your own Cain sacrifice. Well, God, this is as good as I got. It ain't good enough. He accepts the blood. You just claim the blood. God, I claim the blood, and look, I'm trying real hard. Sorry, Cain, that's a hybrid religion. Well, God, I claim the blood, and I just claim the blood. In faith. You gotta believe it. He says, notice in the last days, Lucifer doing the same thing. Can you see it? The devil doing the same thing, building up a hybrid church, hybrid by hybrid members, hybrid by knowledge instead of the word, by intellectual men instead of born again men, building an intellectual kingdom that will outshine Christ's little bitty flock. That's what we see around the message. They can outshine Christ's little flock. They have hybrid members been birthed by a denominational idea, by a man-made creed, and a mixture of the message. You take a little bit of the message. Oh, I'm sorry. You take a lot of the message. You take a little bit of your own religion. You mix them together, and you're a hybrid message believer.
It's just reasonable that if Joseph Branham was promised, if Joseph Branham was promised to Brother Branham that he's going to come, isn't it reasonable that we should hear what Brother Joseph has to say? After all, he was promised. Isn't that reasonable? Isn't it reasonable that if Brother Branham said these words, Joseph, thou art a prophet, he said those words in a message he preached, isn't it reasonable that we should listen to what Brother Joseph said because Brother Branham said he's a prophet? Yes, that is reasonable. Is it according to the word? Is it what the word is manifesting? Not when Joseph Branham gets off the word. Well, I'll take my chances with them anyways. That's reasoning. Make sure you don't send this tape out. Reasoning will get you all tore up, brother and sister. Satan will reason with you and reason with you and reason with you until by the time you go to bed tonight, you're going to lose all the benefit you got from sitting in church today if you let him reason it out of you. Well, I got a bad attitude. I just can't get over it. Okay. All right. Well, sooner or later you will. Building an intellectual kingdom that will outshine Christ's little bitty flock. See, what is it that did that? Fallen angels. The Bible said it was fallen angels who listened to Lucifer instead of Christ, who they once belonged to. Is that right? Listen, they once belonged to Christ. And they listen to Lucifer. That's why you see so many people, they start out in the message and they're going along, but before they get to that new birth, they've been talked into something else by reasoning, and they've chased after that man or that man or that doctrine, or they just can't, they don't want to keep going because it's too hard, and they've been reasoned right out of life. They once belonged to Christ. They were saved potentially at that time. But reasoning got in there. And they said, this pastor offers me a more comfortable church. It's a more comfortable religion. It's something where I can feel that I'm spiritual because I understand the deep things he's preaching. He said, now listen close. Fallen angels. What kind of angels? Luther, Wesley, Catholic, Pentecostal, message believers. I added that last one. Luther, Wesley, Branham. You say you can't put Brother Branham in there. If you can put Luther and Wesley in there, yes, you can. Luther wasn't the fallen angel. Wesley wasn't the fallen angel. It's the people who got in there after they gave their message and they got on there and denominated. Who kept not their first estate like the angels did, and has fell into organization like Lucifer's main hold at Nicaea. What have they done? Organized a great ecumenical association of ministers to make an image unto the beast. Don't think for a second that just because we don't have this all organized like the denominations are, that the message ministers are not organized. Oh yeah, they are. They know who to have preach and who not to have preach. Listen, if you know someone's off the word, you're not going to have preach. But brother and sister, they have this organized down a lot of places where they are not going to let someone like Brother Jerry come and preach because he's going to disrupt their church. What have they done? Made an image unto the beast and building a Christian economy that'll close the doors of this church and others like it. See Lucifer at work? He said, I'm trying to bring you the threefold revelation or mystery of God. So what he's saying is here in the last days, it goes like all vindicates the first day where Satan got into that perfect church in Eden and spread his doctrine. He spread his reasoning and it got it to fall. And he's doing the same thing in the message churches at the end time. It's spreading his doctrine, his reasoning to get you to fall away. Oh, that doesn't mean you leave the church. Your message church is growing. Why you're falling away. What did they do? They sold out to reasoning and wisdom and education like Eve did. Fallen angels. Wesley was a man of God. What followed him? Fallen angels got into it. What was the angels first? Created beings of God but fell for Lucifer's wisdom. And you see what they become? Fallen angels. They started out right. They started out seeing the message. They started out going right. They started out recognizing that God sent a prophet. They started recognizing that this was the truth. But before they could go on and get to the point where they were actually sealed away, they listened to Lucifer's reasoning. And you and I have sat in a lot of services and been in some of the churches where those people were preaching. Can I give you some list of fallen angels? This might make you uncomfortable. Beeler, Jerry Bell, Jenkins, Sproul, John Martin. We have them all around us, brother and sister, and I'm not going to name some of them that are still around about and they completely show their color. You say you shouldn't be calling out names. When a person shows their colors, then that's okay, brother and sister. You think after Judas betrayed Jesus, they said, now don't call out Judas' name because he used to be one of us. I don't believe that at all. They've shown their colors. They showed who they really are. They're fallen angels, brother and sister. They're leading people astray. You have to listen to this, brother, or you're not going to make it. Fallen angels. Organizations from men of God who went forth to establish truth in the earth. Before that truth could go and proclimate and get on to the real thing, real revelation of Christ, fallen angels come in and took it over and made denominations out of it. So this message, before it could go on and completely get to the point where Christ and the bride have been united, fallen angels got in there and said, you don't need to listen to ministers anymore. Just listen to the tapes. Fallen angels keeping the bride from uniting with the headship. Because the thing that's going to unite it is the preaching of the word, the preaching of Christ, and is Christ the manifestation of the word. And when you do not have that, you do not have a headship on your body. Come in and made denominations out of it. He said, that's the reason the revelation of the seventh seal mystery had to be unfolded. Oh my. Bring that down to today. Not back in 1963. Today, 2016, the reason that the seventh seal mystery that's being preached right now has to be unfolded is to keep our eyes open so that we can recognize the fallen angels and recognize the evil work they're doing. So someone comes up and says, here, Brother Branham said the seventh seal wasn't open. And you're going to look at it and said, I'm sorry, brother, but I've gone clear past that by now. I recognize the seventh seal is open because I'm a walking demonstration of it. Brother Branham said it would be, and it has been. You're not going to be deceived by someone taking a quote out of context. You're not going to be deceived by someone with an anointing that can preach really well or just bring whatever he's bringing. You're not going to be deceived. Because you're going back to the simplicity. Yeah, but what is the word currently doing? What is currently being manifest? That's the reason the revelation of the seventh seal mystery had to be unfolded. You see it? What they left off? If Luther would have went on, it'd have been here. Wesley would have went on. If Pentecost would have gone on, what would they have done, brother and sister, if they would have gone on? If the message of believers would have gone on, they'd be here. But they didn't want to go on because they wanted to find an easy way of being saved. They wanted to find an easy salvation. They said, if I just sit in this church, if I just follow this man, if I just believe this doctrine, I'm good. Because then you don't have to die, and it's so reasonable, and you don't have to have faith. You don't have to fight with the battle of faith. You know what your faith is? Well, I'm going to believe I'm going to be healed from this toothache. I believe. That's not the battle that we want to talk about, brothers. Sure, we need healing for that. But the battle we're fighting, brother and sister, is to make sure that you have a soul that's sealed away by the pure word of God, not sealed away by a hybrid religion. Because you can be sealed away with that false seed, too. And then Brother Branham said,
souls in prison now, impossible to be saved. Because you took that and you held on to it till it sealed your soul with that false seed. Fallen angels. What a horrible place to be. And if you're not there, and you're not, that's enough reason to praise God. That's enough reason to be happy for a little while. They would have been here. What would they be? Where would they be if we all just keep going? Brother and sister, they would just keep going. Let me read a few more quotes here. My time went fast today.
What's the denomination trying to do? Exalt itself like Lucifer. They so call themselves the Church of the Bride, which they are in Revelation 17, as it spoke of the false bride. Above Christ's little flock, the bride, Lucifer thinks and exalts himself above the humble word of God's truth by the knowledge of the revelation. Let me read that again. He thinks and exalts himself above the humble word of God's truth by the knowledge of the revelation. It's the knowledge of it. They have the truth. Look, when serpent was speaking to Eve back then, he was telling her the truth. It was true. But it was just his knowledge of it. It wasn't the manifestation or the revelation of it, because that hadn't come yet. And so he was just telling her some things that were true to appeal to her sense of knowledge, to appeal to her sense of being smart, being intellectual, being spiritual. And Satan will take the message and the Bible, and he can preach a message out and just blow you out of your seat. But if it's not the revelation of it, all he's appealing to is your carnal mind. That's how he got to Eve. He appealed to her carnal mind. Paul said, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He brings the things. It's a high thing. It's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's marvelous. And if it's just knowledge, then it's just knowledge. And if it makes, like I said, if it makes you feel so spiritual, it makes you feel so smart, it makes you feel so much better than someone else, that knowledge, even though it's a message, that knowledge is carnal, it's sensual, and it's devilish. That's how close it is. That's how it's deceptive. Someone come up to me or comes up to you and say, hey, let's, you know, we're in a fellowship. Brother Branham said this, and I believe this, and Brother Branham said this. And you know what you're doing? You're playing church. You're just trying to impress somebody with what you know. You're just trying to impress them. Well, yeah, I believe it this way. How do you believe it? Stop playing church. I'm going to walk away from you. I don't care what you know. I care who you know. I love fellowshipping around Christ, the manifested word. If you want to just trade quotes and see who knows more, just save your time, brother and sister. You need to get serious and get yourself born again so you can quit playing church and go ahead and go in the rapture. Exalts himself above the humble word of God's truth by the knowledge of the revelation. Placed himself by a seminary education in theology until they have got themselves up. And if you don't belong to the group, then you're an outwash. You know what? We need to rename some of the message churches. But let me use our church. Bible Believers Tabernacle Seminary. Or maybe we just say Bible Believers Seminary. Because the average message church is a seminary where they preach doctrine and they teach you how to live, and Christ is on the outside. Hey, can I come in? Can I come in? Your anointing can. We'll take your anointing. The rest of you need to stay outside. We like the anointing. We like the miracles. We like the healing. We're not about to accept that word you got. He is the word. When you reject the word, you rejected Christ. Why are you preaching this? Why are you saying, brother says, I hope you don't think I'm up here just trying to put us up and everyone else out. There are other groups, brother and sister, the bride around the world. This is not the only bride. But let me tell you what, we need to make sure that we recognize and withstand the Antichrist spirit that is trying to make you lukewarm, cold, and formal, and powerless, brother and sister, because that is what he's trying to do. He's trying to get in here through reasoning when the word is preached to keep you from just grasping onto that with a tight grip and say, that's for me. Oh, someday we'll get there. Someday! How long do you want to stay around here? Aren't you sick of this place yet? What is it that's holding you here? Why would you want to sit there and just be a lukewarm message believer? Because you don't want to fight for something that's yours. I tell you what. If someone would come to your house, some big old boy, and say, you know what? I like this place. I'm staying. Get out. The first thing you would do is call the police. Or you go to your nightstand and pull out your 9mm and you drive them out. Why? This is mine. And yet, we have all these promises. All these promises, and we let Satan just squat on them, and we just sit there and let him have his way because we don't have the gumption to fight him and drive him out. Why? We're just comfortable. You want this? The guy comes in, he says, okay, well, listen, can I still have my bedroom? Okay, man. Just keep the refrigerator full. Okay. And the next you know, you're comfortably squatted, living with your squatter. And you know what he does? He defiles your house. He's always bringing in junk. You're always trying to clean it up and you can't get it cleaned up because he's always messing the place up. Take this spiritually. We wonder why we can't live an overcoming life because we got squatters on our promises. Well, I just don't want to get him rid of him because I'm kind of comfortable. Well, the rest of us are saying, please get rid of him. We want to go in a rapture. Yeah, I'm preaching to myself. Don't just think, oh, Phil thinks he's holy, he's ready to go. Like I said Thursday, if you ever think, well, I'm ready for the rapture, when you're not. When you want to know you're ready for the rapture is when you see those saints walking around on earth, the resurrected saints, then you can say, okay, I'm ready to go. Until that time, don't ever get that place where I got all of Christ I need. Like Lucifer did in the beginning to the people, just exactly what Lucifer said to Eve. Surely God will receive us. We feed the poor. Surely God will receive us. Brother so-and-so is our pastor. Surely God will receive us. We go to the Branham Tabernacle. Surely God will receive us. We're very holy. Surely God will receive us. We understand the great mysteries. But do you live the mystery? Are you the personification of the simplicity of that mystery? Let me read one more quote. See if this is, he preached this in 1965. See if this describes the United States and the world today. The complete, total insanity this world will go into right away. It's almost there now. Remember how things were in 1965? Some of you don't, some of you do. Compare 1965 to 2016. We've gone into total insanity. When people can't decide if they're a man or woman, if they can't decide what bathroom to go into, if they can't decide if they want socialism or democracy or capitalism, when all these things are going on, when things that are immoral are considered moral and vice versa, when if you have morals and dress decently, you're considered a freak. We are insane. When they want to let people out of prison because of the race they are, just because you got too many people of a certain race in prison, and just because they killed someone, it's just unfair. The laws must be racist, because if more of one race is killing people, then the law is the problem. It's not because they're not supposed to kill people. That's insanity. Look at the people, the clown and the two clowns. One of them is going to be president of the United States. I'll just be honest. One's a clown and one of them is spawn of Satan. That's a horrible thing to say. That spirit on that woman is incredibly evil. And Trump is he's just an idiot. I'm sorry. If you like Trump, you vote for him all you want. I think he's an idiot. I think when we have those kind of people running for our president, one of them is going to be our next president. And then you look around and say, we are insane. I will say this about Trump. He is a liar. Wow. Let me get off of that. Complete total insanity this world will go into right away. It's almost there now. Why? You see the footsteps of it. He said, there it is. It's marching right on the street, right down the church pew. Total insanity. Do things that a human being wouldn't think of doing and be civilized. And yet we call that that's the spearhead of civilization. We see this going on and we call them progressives. And we get more and more that way. And if you don't go along with it, then you're a weirdo. You're a hater. Oh, but they're inclusive as long as you agree with them. It's insanity, brother. Right down the church pew, it's being preached. You can go, you know, you have pastors who don't believe in God. They're pastoring churches that don't believe in God. Look what Hollywood has done to the woman. It's robbed the sacred virtues of the woman, on and on. All this she lost. How did she do it? Because there is a subtle instrument called the church. Like there was in the Garden of Eden, a subtle person, the devil, walked into the church just like he did in the Garden of Eden, deceived her into it. She is deceived. The woman thinks. She don't mean to be wrong. Eve didn't mean to do wrong. It wasn't willfully. But the Bible said she was deceived. And the deceived is not when you willfully do it. It's when you're deceived into doing it. Those message believers aren't willfully wrong. They've been deceived by fallen angels. But look, you say, well, if that's it, then God can't judge him. He's going to have to let him. No. Because Eve still chose the wrong thing. She was deceived. Oh, yeah, she wanted it so bad, she was deceived into accepting the false doctrine, the lie. You still make your choice. But when you have a minister up there preaching the same thing over and over, and after a while, you're going to be believing what that minister preaches. It's deception. And that's something inside of you that says, I don't know if this is right. I don't really feel it. But he's going to say, yeah, just believe this and you're okay. Just believe this and you're okay. Don't you believe the message? I do. Well, Brother Branham said, when you see it, you're born, you're saved. Or they're going to come up with some kind of doctrine. You're still going to go back and find that place in their life where they rejected Christ. People, you know, they feel that work, and we have so many kids who are just so messed up. And, you know, you get some kid, he's molesting his siblings or something like that. And, you know, you talk about it. And every time someone will say, well, it's probably because he was molested himself. And that's probably true, because a lot of the time it is molestation happens because that person was molested. But let me tell you something. That still doesn't excuse them. You still make your own choices. Happens all the time. When someone does something, well, you know, he killed somebody. Well, it's probably the neighborhood he grew up in. finding some way to justify it. Why? Because they don't want to be held accountable, and they don't want to hold anyone else accountable. Because if I hold you accountable for your actions, I have to hold myself accountable for mine. And no one wants to be accountable. So we find an excuse. We find a reason. We find a way out. We find a justification. Well, my dad raised me this way. I can't help it. Tell that to God on Judgment Day. You're going to stand on your own two feet. And fallen angels are getting in there and telling you, you're okay. You've been in this church for years. You're okay. You're good. You're a believer. You live a good life. So close. Deceive all but the very elect. He's a good preacher. Satan's got good preachers. But so does God. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Thirdfold of the threefold mystery of God. To take the bride back to everything that Adam lost. He gets preeminence in her. Fulfilling these promises, and then takes her back to these promises and gets her back there where she is one with Christ. Walking in the cool of the evening, just you and God in your own relationship. That's where we are either headed or there. I don't know how that's all going to fulfill, how that's all going to play out, but brother and sister, that's what God is doing. So when Satan comes against you and tries to talk you out of these promises or try to say it's not for you or try to say, oh, you know, sooner or later down the road, whatever, kick that liar out, brother and sister. Claim your inheritance. This is for you. The bride has to recognize who she is and believe who she is because Brother Bram said one point is when the bride realizes who she is, then the rapture is going to happen. And how do you realize it? When you see the headship coming to the body, the manifestation happening. It's all playing out right in front of us. The things Brother Branham said is happening right all around us. And it's so simple. It's so simple. We were eating breakfast yesterday morning down at that Methodist church. Wonderful time. All these people going in and out, and everyone in Dixon knows Brother Jim and Brother David. Pretty soon, Brother Cody. Wonderful people. But did they recognize that deity was sitting in their midst? If we'd have been sitting there with halos overhead and wings on or something, they would have said, whoa, look at this. But that's not the way God does it. Someone look at Brother Jim and say, you know what, that man, I know Brother Jim for all his life. He's a good, there's something right about him. But do they bother to come find out what it is? All you have to do is start talking the word a little bit and they scatter like crows. My, what an opportunity we have right here. What an experience we are going through right now. I'm trying to quit, folks. Don't miss out. Wherever you are in your spiritual walk, don't let reasoning keep you out of that rapture. Reasoning is powerful. Satan knows it's powerful because he got Eve from the beginning. He got human beings all the way down through to this age. And this is the first age where the bride, the believers in this age, are not going to fall to reasoning. We're going to go up. We're going to take it to a body change. That's what you've been called to. That's pretty good calling. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're grateful, Father, you would come and speak to us this morning, Lord. And Father, I just pray that the word will have the effect that you intended it for. Just a warning to when we recognize Satan coming against us, this is reasoning that we stand against it with faith. Faith and reasoning do not coexist. Faith is unreasonable.
Lord Jesus, we choose faith over reason. We choose faith over what Satan can preach to us, Lord. We just ask that the word would continue to come and continue to have the effect that it's been having, Lord Jesus. Move upon us, Lord. Help us to recognize Christ. Help us to choose Christ. Help us to believe in Christ, Lord Jesus. Help us, Father. We ask that you'll just bless us the rest of this day, Lord. Strengthen us. Watch over us. Bring us back again, Lord Jesus, Thursday evening. Lord, ready to hear from you again. We ask this in your name. Amen. Brother Nate, if you will come on up. God bless you, brother and sister. I really appreciate you. There's strength and fellowship, brother and sister. There's strength fellowshipping with brothers and sisters. So make sure you do that.
I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for, you see, but he's been so good to me. So